Since 1931, Financial Executives International has been the leading advocate for the views of corporate financial management. Its more than 10,000 members hold policymaking positions as chief financial officers, chief accounting officers, controllers, and treasurers at companies from every major industry. And FEI enhances its members' professional development through peer networking, career management services, conferences, research, and publications. Join FEI today to network with key influencers, understand emerging issues, advocate for corporate finance, and boost your career opportunities. Both individual and corporate membership options are available. Go to www.financialexecutives.org and click on Become a Member. Or look for the link in this episode's show notes.
Hi, this is Chris Westfall, and this is the FEI Weekly Podcast. Over the past quarter century, NetSuite has become ubiquitous in enterprise software, especially for small and medium-sized businesses building their finance operation on its cloud-based platform. But software never stops evolving, and new technologies like artificial intelligence are creating more questions than answers when it comes to the next 25 years. In this week's episode, we sat down with NetSuite's founder, Evan Goldberg, about the lessons he's learned about managing change and how embracing the small business mindset has kept his company competitive.
All right. Terrific, thanks. So yeah, appreciate you taking the time today. I want to sort of start with a question that, working from existential down to more specific.
Okay.
Can you share a little bit what led you to think about or create NetSuite, you know, over, I guess it's over two decades now.
Mm-hmm.
And what specific problem were you trying to solve?
Yeah, well, I was actually, to some degree, building it for myself and the experience I had running my previous company and how complex that was. You know, I joke that we had 10 systems and 15 employees. That didn't seem like the kind of the ratio that you wanted. And I just felt like I couldn't get the data that I wanted in real time. We had so many different customer lists, and I'm like, there's got to be a better way. So, you know, that was my observation, that I wanted to build a better business system for fast-growing businesses that actually, you know, develop a decent amount of complexity rather quickly.
Was it always sort of a forecasting and frame of mind, or was it sort of accounting frame?
Well, I mean, I was an entrepreneur and a CEO, so sort of my first thought was like, where's my next deal coming from? You know, what does my pipeline look like? But when you're running a business and you got to make payroll and you got to pay taxes and, you know, if I owe your taxes and all those things, you develop an appreciation for some of the nuts and bolts in the back office too. So to me, it was like, let's unify the back office and the front office, because there's such rich information in both of them, and also you spend a lot of time in both of them, and you know, in time that you'd probably rather be focused on building your business rather than dealing with the nuts and bolts of technology.
Has that, obviously with NetSuite has developed and grown enormously, but have the problems really changed over the past couple
of years? I think they've gotten worse. Companies really get more complex even faster. I mean, back then, you know, 25 plus years ago, I think companies fell more cleanly into different sort of verticals and traditional categories of business. I sell a product, you know, I'm a manufacturer that sells to wholesalers, or I'm a wholesaler that sells to retailers, or, you know, I'm a software company and I, you know, sell to, you know, a specific type of business, and I just sell software and that's it. I think we've seen so much blurring of the lines where we sort of have these businesses that cross segments and blur segments. You know, you have branded manufacturers that are now selling direct to consumer. Sometimes they have stores, but they're also selling traditionally like they used to large retailers and So early on, and also things have gone more global quite, you know, quite more quickly. And with e-commerce, it's easier to reach an audience, a much larger audience than you could in the past. And so all of these mean that earlier in a customer, in a company's life cycle, they have a lot of complexity. They risk system proliferation lack of coordination between these different systems. And so, yeah, I'd say that the need is even greater than it was back then.
Going over the history of it too, I know, you know, back when I started FEI, there was debate about cloud versus on-prem, and obviously something that NetSuite dealt with back in the day, or I don't know if you're stealing it. How did that debate shape the company and your approach to?
Yeah, I mean, we were the first cloud company, you know, and Salesforce.com started a few months after that, and it was fortunate that, you know, the Mark Benioff hype machine was helping convince the world that it's a good idea to not have to manage your own data and your own databases, et cetera. So we were talking to somewhat different audiences, but it was kind of funny early in NetSuite's history, I would be able to say, well, you know, I know you're concerned about putting your financial data on the web, but by the way, just so you know, your sales team has put all your customer data on the web, so the cat's sort of out of the bag. You know, there was a point, you know, when we really took off, when the world shifted from, you need to convince me that the cloud is where my data should be, shifted to, you need to convince me that the cloud isn't, you know, where my data should be. In other words, our competitors that used to say, oh, why do you want to risk putting it in the cloud, all of a sudden were on their back feet because their the prospects were coming to them and saying, I don't want to deal with running my own software. I mean, and so when that shift happened and cloud sort of became the incumbent, and that was, you know, obviously due to some of our work, but also many, you know, many other companies and just the changing world, that was sort of the big accelerant for our growth.
Do you think it was a tougher sell, I mean, as you mentioned, to the finance group to say to store all your data on the cloud than it was to the sales?
Well, I mean, obviously a big part of what they do is sort of the fiduciary part of running the business that maybe is not as much on the mind of you know, other executives and other stakeholders in a company. So they were appropriately cautious, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And but the fact of the matter is they accepted it, and when we were able to articulate, you know, right now your data is in that computer over there that like anyone could throw into the back of their car. We store it in a secure data center where you need a handprint to get in. And so when we reasoned, you know, in that way, I think that's how we were initially able to overcome those objections, even, you know, and the appropriate sort of caution and conservatism that somebody that's, you know, has sort of, you know, that responsibility in a company should have.
Our membership is made up from Fortune 50 companies to family-owned businesses, but NetSuite, as I understand it, deals a lot with small, medium-sized companies, growing companies. Mm-hmm. What do you think the biggest misconception is about today about small, medium-sized businesses?
I think people think they're really simple.
Yeah.
And you know, what's interesting for us is we look at our customers and they may have some aspects of their business that are very straightforward, you know, because a lot of what happens as a business grows is things that used to be exceptions become more of the rule and you need a system to take care of it. But what always surprises me is that in the core of these businesses, what they're doing, what they're changing the world with, that part of their business can get complex quite quickly because they're very focused on it. They want it to work right. And so they quickly want systems and they want data and so yeah, they're not simple. And that complexity is what causes people to say, oh, this simple system that I started my company on very quickly is not gonna work for me, and I have even bigger ambitions in the future. So I gotta get myself on a platform for growth.
Do you think that when you talk to, you know, when you talk to small and medium-sized business, they're a lot more engaged with a data debate or the debate or discussion around data and following the data than they were when you started?
Absolutely. I mean, you can't help, you know, just reading about things. You know, before AI, there was big data, you know, and everybody's like, wow, you know, these kinds of conclusions we can make in so many different fields by looking at the data. So I think there is more literacy than there ever was before. And certainly, you know, obviously finance executives and people in finance departments, they've been looking at data for years and showing, you know, reports and charts to their execs and saying, look, this isn't working or this is working. So I think they have really leapt on this ability to get even better data, and having the finance system no longer living in a silo, but being right alongside all that sales information, you have, you know, that analytical capability among finance people to really take that and run with it and make great, you know, more strategic conclusions about what might be the right direction for a business.
Do you think finance people are taking more ownership of that, or is that?
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's certainly what we see. And, you know, they, you know, everybody that I've worked worked with in finance for years and years at NetSuite as part of Oracle, they really want to help. I mean, they have those assets to be able to do it. And I love that. Because they have that mind and that sense of how to look at things critically, you know, show profitability, make those conclusions, make those correlations. So if we put the right tools in front of them, I think they get really excited about it.
One thing I want to ask is just about sort of the NetSuite business model is you know, it's a software as a service business. How do you keep an edge on that when it's seems a lot of companies, it's sort of
not commodified, but it's
well, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think of starting a software company now without it being a cloud-based right. software company. I mean, the notion that you're like, oh, I have this great idea for a software company, but I'm going to make them all install it on their own computers and manage it, and I'm going to have them manage databases, and they're going to have to, you know. So, right, I mean, everything out there is with the model. Now, I mean, we've been around for, I mean, we're, you know, 25 years old, which is pretty decently old for a software
yes.
company. And we like to think of ourselves as young at heart, and we certainly try to keep that same entrepreneurial excitement that we had from the early days of NetSuite. At the same time, we have vast experience in how to run a cloud service effectively, securely, reliably, with great performance. So I still think we maintain an advantage just because of that built-in DNA and that experience that we've built up over all these years.
I know there's been a lot of discussion about artificial intelligence and the use of artificial intelligence. It almost seems like it's the new blockchain.
I think it might be maybe more applicable than that. That's certainly what we're betting on.
But there's been, you know, it seems to be the consistent theme. What do you think AI brings today? But more importantly, I want to understand, like, is there a roadmap you're thinking about for AI for the future embedded within NetSuite?
No. I mean, I strongly believe that, I mean, it may not even be called AI in the future. It'll kind of like we talked about cloud, that it's just sort of taken for granted at this point. I think that systems will be intelligent. It will help you make good decisions. It will put options in front of you based on analyzing the data with, you know, machine learning and these other types of techniques, that it will be much easier to explain the things that you're seeing in the system using things like generative AI. I think that's actually going to be table stakes. It's going to be just, you know, I'd say that a system without those kind of intelligent capabilities is like a car without wheels. And so that's why we look at it as just intrinsic to what we do. And business systems have been around, you know, almost since computers were invented, because obviously, you know, tracking the numbers, we say at NetSuite, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That's always been true. But it's, you know, these systems have been more passive in the past. I mean, they're great at crunching the numbers and then showing you some nice reports and graphs and things like that. The next generation of business systems is going to really help you. And it's going to help people across the organization, including in finance. I mean, there's so many opportunities for anomaly detection, for generative AI to be able to proactively, when it sees something that's not quite right, to proactively be able to reach out to, you know, somebody in your organization or outside your organization. So it's just going to be part of the mix, and that's what we're excited about. And we can't predict the future any better than anybody else. We've always got our ear to the ground and what AI technologies and capabilities are being pioneered out there and how they might be applicable to the business user. I mean, that's in NetSuite, you know, we took generative AI and immediately applied it inside of NetSuite in a way that we think is pretty unique and amplifies the strengths of our business system, and that's what we're going to keep doing. There's so much more to come, I'm quite sure.
Now, sort of my final...
So I'm a little more bullish than I was about blockchain. That's maybe that's the right. The message here.
So, final question. With generative AI, you know, there's the models and then there's the data, right? And, you know, you're already seeing this in consumer applications with OpenAI about debates over who owns the data.
Mm-hmm.
That's just seems to be just as important when it comes to a sort of business-to-business environment.
Absolutely.
Because I would assume the brass ring is to have a generative AI model that can not only look at your books, but look at other people's books, mm-hmm. and compare industries and compare sectors.
Yeah.
And I know I had a discussion with an auditor, and he was opining on what the future would look like, and he said, think about an audit where it's tied into the data, the ERP of not only our clients but every other client. We can, you know, use generative AI to like look for anomalies across the entire spectrum. I guess the question being is like, how do you overcome this? I would assume it's the same debate you had about cloud, right? Is it access? Who's going to see my stuff?
Mm-hmm.
How do you overcome that?
No, it's a great question. And I think there's so much, right now our focus is on AI that works inside the NetSuite system with your data in that sort of walled garden. I think it is true that there's a lot of exciting stuff that can happen when we aggregate data. But we're going to do that very, very thoughtfully, anonymized, with your consent. I mean, it's your data. We're very, very clear about that. There's no doubt, this is not public data like, you know, pages on the internet. This is your data. And if we're going to use it in a more aggregated way, it's going to because you agreed to do that, to give your anonymized data into a pool where you know it's very secure, it's going to be anonymized, it's not completely de-identified or identifiable, and then maybe you get the benefit of the conclusions that we can come to by looking at other companies like yours and seeing patterns, and then tell you, here's some patterns we see. Your DSO seems a little out of whack compared to other very, very similar companies that we've looked at, and therefore maybe there might be some, you know, we can help you with collections. And that's kind of the way we think of AI. Advice, your day sales outstanding seems high. Assistance, you know, we can help you automate your collections process and make it more effective.